Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon. My name is Ann McNeil, and I am, yes, I am the master builder, helping to build stronger and better lives and businesses. And I'm excited to be here with my co-hosts, Dan Calloway and Steve White. This is hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. After reading the book, Acres of Diamonds by Russell Conwell, I am still thoroughly convinced that we are all leaving the diamond mines in our hometown, in our own backyards, as we travel the world looking for larger diamond finds, when in fact, the diamonds we seek are found within us in our own hometown. Therefore, we're calling this podcast hashtag I Am Riviera Beach, hashtag Riviera Beach Pride. Our vision is to continue to shed a brighter light on the wonderful, smart, talented individuals from our great city, Riviera Beach, Florida. And today's topic is health. Yes, health solutions, talking about mental health. And with that thought in mind, I want to bring on our co-hosts, Dan and Steve. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It's the roundtable discussion with the three of us, and this is the last week we'll be discussing mental health, unless we get some more calls that we've been really been talking about it all over. I need to tell both of you that yesterday was very successful because it was over 3,000 individuals between the program put on at the Callaway Complex under Councilperson Douglas Lawson with Abe Elam and the Elam Foundation with a lot of athletes feeding, having intramural games like the fire department playing against it was a co-ed and some other teams. It just was a day of fun, but most of all, they were all asking about what are we going to do about the mental health. Some of them had heard about it, and Shirley Lanier, who is one of our commissioners, we met with her, Artie and I met with her 3 days ago, and she's going to assign the nurses. There's a nurses group of all black nurses want to come and give something back. And maybe in a month's time, I'll have one, I have two or three on the program. But right now, that was helpful. And then Sinceria 2000, the mental health group, had their back to school. It was over 502 people picked up sneakers back to school and some other things, and with the parents, and we fed them. With those two activities going on, it was just a long, long day. And I can tell you, being out there out at the park, that heat must have been 100 degrees, but nobody paid attention to it but me, and because they had free food and conversation. I think that with the 100th year of Riviera starting in September and goes to September a year later, one week of that, we will have a lot of returning participants in the Riviera Recreation Program. So 50 years. They are coming from everywhere. And if you allow me to start bringing in, after I bring in Shirley Lanier next week, one of the commissioners, that we start bringing in some of the people who grew up in Riviera through the Recreation Department. And Steve talked about that numerous times, where everybody gravitate to either Tate Gym or Wells Gym, Goodmont Park, Firehouse, Fifth Street Park. That was the lifeline of Riviera. I think that we need to start with that because there's so many, and therefore they end up going to all walks of life, whether it's in the educational field, whether in the politics, whether in law enforcement or in the athletic field or to another step profession. It doesn't matter. They started at one of those sites, and I think that this is what you wanted, Ann, when you got Steve and myself to be a part of this. Am I right?
Absolutely, 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 because that was a way out for so many of us was athletics. Being able to,
Steve,
you know,
okay,
go to school.
Well, it was not only the platform to go to school, it was the platform to understand where you started from and where you're trying to go. Because as an athlete on the sports diamonds and gems and whatever, it's about life. You're teaching the game of life through sports. You got to work hard.
Right.
You got to obey the
right
rules and things like that.
And especially self-discipline, too. I think that was huge for so many of us,
yes,
just the discipline.
Yes, that is true. And I think discipline is demanded in any profession you do. What are you thinking, Steve?
Well, you know, I grew up at the firehouse and then tape as well, so that was part of my background. But I think what it gave us, and this is what I alluded to last week, is that it just gave us that village, and the village gives you such a sense of security. It gives you a lot of confidence. You know, so when we were as children and we had all of these positive role models, really, because that's what you all were for us, Mr. Calloway, the men and the women in the community, we had these positive role models that was showing us the way, that was showing us the love, that was helping to build our self-esteem. And so, you know, even as we segue into this topic about mental health, that helped us to be sound. That helped us to be secure in who we were, just having that village, you know, because when you think about playing at the firehouse, it brought us together from First Street through Fifth Street and Sixth Street, et cetera. Then you go over to Tate and you got people from the South End, the North End, and everybody's there playing together and knowing each other and just being a part of the village. And so you can never underestimate the impact that had on children, you know, because there was so much that we were seeing that we may not have even understood its real value at that time. But as we grew up and became adults ourselves, you know, we really came to appreciate what that meant to us and what that gave to us. And that's why we all see so many of us and those who have come after us even trying to replicate what they experienced during that time. And that's why they have so much respect for you, Mr. Calloway, and Coach Hawkins and all those teachers we had at Lincoln and at Kennedy and everything, you know, because we come to realize the impact that had on our lives and how important it is. And so what has happened is that the younger generations, and I'm just going to be very honest with you, I think, you know, integration came and really tore up our neighborhoods. And so a lot of the younger generations were not privy to and didn't benefit from what we had. And so, again, when you talk about mental health or anything else, once you destabilize the community, once you eradicate the village, then, yeah, mental health can become an issue. Drugs can become an issue. Crime becomes an issue because you have taken away that village that gave us the kind of stability that every child and every family needs to have.
Well, I'm glad you brought all those things up because I sat in a meeting with Dr. Botel and Artie and four other people last week and going over some of the activities or whatever we're going to do this month. Every month we're going to have four or five different activities celebrating the 100th year starting September. One of the things yesterday, there was all kind of guys out there, to, you know, who grew up in Riviera. And particular, it was three young ladies, Marvelous Washington, and I is a director, and for years with a master's degree down at what is that? The park down there.
Gaines Park, right.
Gaines Park, and she was a tremendous basketball player, and her one of the little Conway young lady, one of her teammates, and they were trying to badger me for me to tell the other one who could shoot the three ball out of the corner better. And we had them, I had them in Philadelphia in a police athletic league tournament, teams from all over the state. This was about 30 years ago when they were 14 and 15. And they're still talking about things like that, and they're expressing their experience of growing up and why did they go in there. Now, Marvelous, this is what she's doing. She's over what I call a sports complex, Gaines Park.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this is a way to bring everybody back. 9 out of 10, the only time we ever get together is at a funeral. And that's never good. We need to be in a reunion often and fraternize and talk about the good days and then relate this to the young people coming along. You just mentioned you were right about that. When it was all of us, only people we could depend on was us, we were much closer than we are now. Now, whether we're going to go back there or not, I don't know that. But I do know one thing. We need to galvanize ourselves because here we are talking about mental illness. There are mental people walking around right among us all the time, and the only thing we say, well, that's a crazy person, don't pay no attention to that. Well, we should be paying attention. What we should be telling the people who are the powers of be. And we've had a meeting with the police chief, and we talked with one of the commissioners, Dr. Botel, yesterday out there, why we need to have a lifeline, a phone, a person manning that phone all the time. And when we see something, we say something, and we do something about something. I think we need to do that. Now, what do you feel about that, Ann? Are you there, Ann?
Yes, of course. I'm talking on mute.
I
was talking on mute. I think that it's very important for us to have a community in terms of the involvement of not just our family, if you will. And what Steve has just finished sharing is that we're all community when you think about how we all grew up. Now, for the city, the county, the state to have the resources to help support these activities, and the, you know, whether it's like you're saying a person is dedicated or some duties that's assigned. As we look at doing that, we also have an opportunity to bring greater awareness to the issue, but also to the solution. And a lot of times we do see things, let's be fair. In our families, we know, and oftentimes we just turn a blind eye because we don't want to accept the situation. I recently was informed that one of my young employees, a young man, graduated from college, went on and got a master's degree. He went on and got his license in construction, and he worked for us about 2 or 3 years, and I kept saying to my daughter, to us, I said, you know, something's not right. You know how you get something in your gut, in your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't anything that was just obvious. It's just that he couldn't stay on a job very long. And even when he worked with us, you know, he would say things to the client that I just didn't think was appropriate for an employee. I mean, things such as, you know, I don't want to be on this job. Now, to me, this is the point. You don't think much about the little things. And I said to my daughter, and I said to our manager in the office, I said, why would somebody with a job tell the client that we work for these things. Well, let me fast forward the story. Last month, I got a call that this same young man, in his mom's house, he and his wife, this is in Broward, for a lot of them, he and his wife have an argument. The wife decides to leave him, goes out to her car, gets in her car, locks the door, rolls the windows up, calls the police. He goes out to the car. His mom is following him. He turns to his mom and says, "Mom, I'm sorry." Pulls out a gun, shoots the girl, shoots himself. Now, I'm saying that to say, sometimes it's so subtle. It is just so subtle. It's so subtle. And so you're not going to, it's not to say that we're going to catch everything, but later I found out that the mother knew, and she was in denial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, but my point, though, is it starts with family. In our family, we all know, but we are in denial. And I think that it's as much as our responsibility to answer your question about the city adding staff, I think it's just as much our responsibility as family members, as much as it is the person's responsibility to seek help. Because oftentimes the person is in denial. They're not going to seek help voluntarily because they don't think there's anything wrong. But I think a lot of times those of us that are in the family, not employers, you know, sometimes you see things, but for us it was so subtle that there would have never been, I can just speak for myself, I would have never thought to call anybody about this young man. Never. But his mom.
Well, can I jump in on that?
Sure.
So I think, and one of the things that I wanted to talk about on this topic is what you were saying, and I think what we, well, I shouldn't say I think, I know what we have to do is we have to remove the negative stigma that's attached to mental illness. And
yes,
we, you know, each of us individually have to start doing that, just as you're saying, you know, individually, in the family, et cetera. Because, like, you take the mother that you just talked about. If her son had come to her and told her that he had high blood pressure, she would have taken him to the doctor if she needed to, because there would not have been any kind of stigma attached to that.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? But
she probably
was also concerned about the stigma that was attached to mental illness, and so to say that her son had something that was mentally wrong. So when we talk about it, if you just listen to the term, we say mental illness. So it's an illness. And so what we have to do is individually, if someone, and this is something that I've been practicing for a while now, if someone is mentally ill and someone makes a joke about it, a laugh about it, we have a personal responsibility to say, hey, wait a minute, that person is ill. Okay, that's an illness, just like if that person has cancer or diabetes or high blood pressure or anything else. So one of the things that has to happen in every community, but in the Black community, we know we've got to take that stigma away. And that's something that we each, you know, individually, family-wise, and everything else, we've got to work on that so that people aren't embarrassed to come forward when it's either themselves or a family member or a friend, and that we don't tolerate people, you know, joking about it and laughing about it and things like that, because that continues that stigma that's attached to it. And that's one of the, I think that's one of the roadblocks to people seeking any type of help, because who wants to be thought of as crazy, right? I mean, because that's basically what it ends up coming down to in this simplest term. So who wants to be thought of that way? Who wants to have a family member thought of that way? So we all have to practice getting rid of that that stigma that's attached to mental illness.
Well, that was well said, even from both of you. This is the reason why Sinceria 2000 had us up there yesterday with those 500 or more parents and kids. The caveat was that we gave them back-to-school supplies and tennis shoes, but we also gave them a little lecture about mental illness and paraphernalia to carry home to give out to different people. And here's a man from the Belgrade the director who we had on this show, Kenneth Funderburk, over the Boys and Girls Club. Now, he came over to be a part of what he's going to have on the 7th of August at one of the sites in the Glades for South Bay, Pahokee, and Belleglade. And he was saying the same thing that Steve was saying. You know, most people don't want the people to know that some part of their family is with that kind of sickness or that kind of illness. But we have to teach and keep being repetitive and telling the community anyone can have that. So it's our responsibility to be the conduit to go and get medical help. This is the reason why I alluded to that we're going to have somebody down the line from the the nursing guild, where they can give you a better insight on what we are talking about. And it's three doctors that is working with Melvin's, Sherry Melvin, the young lady we had on the program 2 weeks ago. And if we can get one, and that's my responsibility, to get one of those medical doctors who's doing it pro bono, to give their spiel about what they're doing as a professional doctor or something like that. I think that, Ann, when you said it takes the village, and Steve, you echoed that, I'm 100% around that. That's what happened yesterday. We were out there feeding all those people. They didn't know they was going to get. They just thought they was going to be out there just getting a lot of music, a lot of food, and a lot of get-together. But when we have those things, we need to have professional people to make a statement what we need to do to improve our community. And it goes back 3 weeks ago, right on 27th Street and O Avenue. I get tired of bringing this up, but I have to bring it up. The young lady got ready to go to work, shot down. They stood over, emptied a gun right on in her face. Just we're going to make her dead nine times or whatever. That, to me, for that to happen, that individual, the individual who concocted that, they got to be mentally off to do something like that. Then we talk about 6 weeks ago, the guy in Royal Palm in the public grocery store killed the grandmother, killed the grandbaby, and kill himself. I mean, every day you're picking up the newspaper and listening at the TV. When is this stuff going to stop? I think when we're going to put a dent in it, we're going to have to go out here and fight this with everybody. And we got to keep doing it over and over because it will not stop overnight. Now, the floor is open, Ann, and then Steve, about our next step.
Well, I think that as we continue to bring awareness and educate, this podcast goes all over the world. And even though we're talking about our wonderful, beautiful, awesome city of Riviera Beach, your city, your hometown, wherever you are, as you're listening to this, and wherever you're from, you can do more by becoming educated about your own situation. And just pick up the phone and just take one little action as you hear us share our story. And then I know that as we continue to bring awareness to this subject, we will continue to enlighten and be enlightened by providing a platform. You see, that's the other caveat here. We're providing a platform to have the conversation. Just think about where else can you go and have the conversation. I think that that's part of the solution, and that's what this show is about. You know, how do we help bring awareness, education, and a solution, starting first by doing the research, you know, having a dialogue. And I think that one of the things that is happening that I'm beginning to see as a result of this show is that we're also beginning to connect resources that ordinarily don't connect with each other. Like you said, when we had the two, the family on, the husband and wife, about their son. you know, you were saying, well, how did you not know about them? And they were saying, well, how did we not know? In other words, this platform is allowing us to bridge some of those gaps. And I think that with our phenomenal council, you know, council people, our awesome mayor in Riviera Beach, and our awesome, you know, city manager, you know, as we continue to bring a platform, it's not, this show is not political. It is not political. We're just bringing awareness. And like I said in the beginning, we're shining a bright light on our city. And our city is everybody's city, because just the pure nature of a city, a county, a state, and our government, there are certain ills that we know that exist, like certain diseases. They're going to be here. But whatever we can do to help minimize, you know, the negative impact and highlight, the, you know, the positive impact, I think that we're starting to do that.
And that's beautiful. I need, before you get back to Steve, I need to bring this up, and you hit a point with me. I mentioned at the very beginning that Kenny Funderburk, who was on this show about 5 weeks ago, and I said that he is the director of the Boys and Girls Club over there in Belgrade. Now, his job is much more strenuous, if I would use that, harder than maybe over in Riviera West Palm, because they don't have the recreation programs that, and the other programs that we have over here on the East Coast. So therefore, when he put together his program, that's for South Bay, Belgrade, and Pahokee, three cities. On the 7th of August, we will be over there help feeding about 2,000 to 3,000 people, but most of all, we are bringing the mental health thing, the mental health programs. That's going to be the number one thing, the mental health. And, of course, the other thing is the they are right now interviewing all the, everybody that didn't get a shot. They must sign up to get a shot. Your county the administrator, Virginia Baker, we met with her 3 weeks ago. She simply said, wherever you get a number of people that's not vaccinated, just give her a call. She will send the moving van where they can get the shots over there. So we're going to take the van over there with already people signed up. And every day on the news, that's what they're talking about, because we need to work together. Now, the key thing that you keep saying, Ann, is we working together as a unit. And at the very beginning, we talked about the athletic program, because most athletic programs is team-oriented. So if it's team, that means it's numerous of people working together for a common goal, to win. Now, we working together, the team, to stop mental illness, to stop the violence, stop the whatever is wrong that is doing something to deface the lives of the people in our community. We must do better. But one thing I will say and echo that you just said about our mayor, the council, the city manager, and all the working people, they will work with us. The police chief, he was on this program. He gave you an idea. And then the Mr. Nance over the Police Athletic League was on this program. And then the major, Spencer Rozier, was on here explaining things. I think that what this program has done is put a collective departments together. Now it's more of like a team, everybody working together. And it's not about politics. It's about making the community better. I really applaud you, Ann, because you came up with this brilliant idea. And I think that just like yesterday, it was nobody had to buy any hot dog or hamburger or Gatorade or whatever. All that was free. And then you got the fire department was out there playing against another team. They all got together and were just enjoying things. And the more we do that, somebody going to start telling you something that you need to know to help out with the people who are having a problem with mental illness or selling drugs or doing or who might have killed somebody. Somebody going to tell you something like that. Get in there, Steve.
Well, yeah. again, I just echo what we've been saying. We've got to rebuild that community that we once had. But one thing I also wanted to say as far as the mental health is concerned, as I was saying, one, we want to remove that stigma, and then also what we want to do, which we started doing last week with our guests, is that is to also let people know about resources where they can get help. Because, you know, sometimes when you do acknowledge that there is a problem, so now what do I do about it? You know, where do I turn for help? And so that's something else that we can continue to focus on to let people know. Because, you know, when even if you go back to the sports at Tate and all the organized sports that you put together, Mr. Callaway, if someone wanted to get their child during that time in baseball or basketball or whatever, they knew where to go, right? And so we need to have the same resources available when it comes to mental health, okay? So where it's just common knowledge, here's where you can go to get help. And so people aren't, you know, struggling about where to go to get help and not worrying so much about what will it cost. And, of course, like I said, not having that negative stigma attached to it, but making people aware of resources as well.
That's beautiful. Well, let me say this here. Yesterday, it given me more of an idea how we can reach a lot of people, because I think we need to make everybody a committee of one to go out and do something more than they've been, because everything both of you said is all a village concept. And here's a man left his job to come over to see what we were doing. I can't emphasize that more. And Kenny Funderburk, because he asked for two things: bring the mental health people, and we get the literature together, and bring the county with the bus with the virus. I mean the vaccine. I think that that's 50 miles away. He came, and those same 50 miles on the 7th. I know you, Steve, and Artie will be together over there helping them out. Mm-hmm. And I think that what we need to do is teach people how to get the business people involved. I'll give you a case in point, which I was telling Kenny Funderburk. I said, Kenny, you've got to go to the five growers. The five growers control all the money in the Glades. And if you read the paper during the week, it's a class action suit about the burning of the cane. People got lung disease. All kind of things affecting people with diabetes. I mean, yep. Inhaling the smoke. Did you read that article in the paper the other day?
I did, yeah.
So we'll talk about that.
Well, you asking me to talk about that now, you say?
Yes.
Yeah, it's been an ongoing problem. And I think a big source of why it's still an ongoing problem is because the sugar corporations, they have such a deep pocket. And they have influenced politicians and other people to really, in many ways, turn a blind eye to it. But the children and the adults, you know, they have these high asthma rates, these high rates of other respiratory illnesses over in the Glades. And clearly, it's due to the burning of the sugar cane. You know what I mean? I don't think that can be disputed at all. But people are turning a deaf ear and a blind eye to it. Because, yeah, they do employ a lot of people, but at what cost, you know, when you're sacrificing the health of your children. So there has to be – one of the things that I just thought about as we're saying that is that what has to happen also is there has to be other employment opportunities brought to the Glades area so that the people aren't so dependent on the sugar corporations for employment, you know, and that's something that – the athletes that have come out of the Glades and many other people that have come out of the Glades and those of us here on the coast and everything else, we really need to talk about and do, which is to bring jobs and businesses over to the Glades, like I said, so that they aren't so dependent on the sugar corporations for employment.
You're right. Well, I just brought that little tidbit up because I wanted your response and I wanted Ann, because she keeps preaching about get in the community. And she's right about that, the team concept. But one thing I do know, this platform that she put here for us and bringing in people with different ideas and different stories, and we're going to do better because now we know better. I think that it started with just I am Riviera. But I can't, and I'm quite sure that both of you can't set back and allow the rest of the black people in Palm Beach County, one, in the state of Florida, in this whole country, to be snookered the rest of their life. Now, we got to be able to open doors and get the blindness off and to make sure that people don't take advantage of the least, the lost, and the left out. We just can't do that. And that's my final remark of what we're doing and why I'm so proud, because if you would have been with me yesterday and everybody want to see you and you're glad that you're 83 years of age, now you can come out here and be a part of this. I think that's why I struggle to do that, because it sometimes people make me feel good, because when I walked up, everybody said, there's a legend. I'm not the legend. I don't want to be the legend. I just want to be Dan Calloway, who served God's children. That's what I was put on this earth to do. And I think that's what Ann says all the time. I think that we have to do more, see it, do it, and keep telling the story. And that's my final remark. Steve, Ann?
Well, I agree with everything you said, and we do come to this earth with a purpose. And, you know, sometimes I think it sounds kind of corny to people, but that is the reality, that every one of us come here with a purpose. And the beauty of it is that God also then gives us the gifts and the talents that we need to fulfill that purpose. And one of the things that I do with my mentoring program is we talk about that a lot. And one of the things that I do with parents is talk about how do you identify your child's gifts and talents, and how do you help them then to develop those gifts and talents so that they can fulfill their purpose? Because that is the ultimate in what success looks like. You know, if when you understand what your purpose is, and then you can utilize your God-given gifts and talents to fulfill that purpose, that's the ultimate in success. It's not going to be money. It's not going to be material things. It's going to be using your gifts and talents to fulfill your purpose in life. And so that also ties in very closely to mental health, because when children are working towards positive goals and they're working towards doing things that give meaning to their life, then again, they're not apt to go off the deep end. And so, you know, that's part of the root cause that we can talk about another time. But, we've got to understand that that's very, very important, that people – identify what their purpose is and develop their gifts and talents to fulfill their purpose. So that's it.
All right. All right. Well, thank you both. And for me, I think that it's all a journey. There's no destination. And on this journey, we're all looking outside oftentimes versus looking inside for that little small voice that, like a compass, that's bringing us back to the one voice, if you will. And I think that the journey is just a journey of self-discovery to understand, like Steve always says, and you too, Mrs. Calloway, that we're here to serve the least, the lost, I call it the unconcerned, and the left out, if you will. And so with that, we want to just remind everybody, please comment, like, and share this show. Also, if you're interested in being a part of the show, or if you know someone born, raised in Riviera Beach and they'd like to be highlighted or spotlighted on the show, please do not hesitate to contact Dan Calloway at 561-531-9184. That's 561-531-9184. And you have been listening to hashtag IAmRivieraBeach. Hashtag I am Riviera Beach. And with that thought in mind, we want to say good afternoon, everybody, and we look forward to seeing you next week, same time, same place, and that's every Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. Eastern. You're saying something, Dan?
Oh. No, that's great. We'll be back here with some more. No, I'm
all
finished.
Right, so
I'm finished,
okay,
and I appreciate everything.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next week at same time, same place, 2 p.m. Eastern time, right here on hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. Have a good day. Thanks.
Good day.
Have a good day. Thank you.